It's Tuesday, December 15th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. Are you excited about 2010? Boy, I sure am. If you thought 2009 was an excellent year for marijuana law reform and the cannabis culture, wait till you see what's on tap for next year. In our hemp headlines, we'll be talking a little bit about California looking at legalization in 2010, but there's so much more that we'll be covering, and I hope you're along with us for our daily audio stash to keep caught up on it in the years to come. And speaking of the years to come, starting this new year, we're going to have some pretty exciting changes for the Daily Audio Stash. I can't tell you all about them yet. We haven't finalized all the details, but one thing's for sure, you'll be getting your Daily Audio Stash before you're done with your work day, even on the East Coast. A special way we're going to make that happen, and I can't wait to tell you. We just got to get all the details hammered out before I can announce it officially. But for all you stashers who wait so patiently for your downloads, especially on these holiday seasons or when I'm out on the road and things start getting really late, that will be cured. Trust me. Also want to mention the Stashy Awards. We're having our special New Year's Eve celebratory show. It's going to be running from midnight Eastern time to midnight Pacific time. And that's going to be on Thursday, December 31st, New Year's Eve, coming to you live from Oregon Normal's Cannabis Cafe. You'll be able to call in live and we'll be talking to Normal chapters all across the country from time zone to time zone as they hit 2010. Also, speaking of Oregon Normal's Cannabis Cafe, it will be the new home of Normal Show Live, and so we'll be broadcasting there this Saturday night for our holiday show. We hope you join us. Also, I've been helping out the Cannabis Cafe in building an ID card system. Going to be really cool, little scanners and barcodes and all of that. Quite interesting. I was talking to the salesman today, and he wanted to know if the cafe was a dispensary, and of course it's not, but he mentioned that he had sold these same sorts of ID card systems to the pharmacy. So down there in California, the dispensary's down there. So apparently they're getting a lot of business from dispensaries. And you know, in this economy, it seems like the cannabis-based businesses are the only ones that have any growth associated with them. Pardon the pun. All right, coming up on your Daily Audio Stash today, we're going to begin with your cannabis community calendar, and then it's a look at your hemp headlines. As I mentioned earlier, California will be looking at legalization in 2010 on their November ballot. Then we move back east to New Jersey, where Chris Goldstein reports on a New Jersey rally for multiple sclerosis patient John Ray Wilson, who's facing prison for his growing and using of medical marijuana. And then way out into the Pacific for the big island of Hawaii, where a councilman there wants to endorse legalization for the state of Hawaii. For our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by Sarah Kant Photography, we're going to be listening to some Electric Tuesday music with a band called Cars Cash Baby and their tune called High. And then it's a podcast within a podcast, the California Marijuana Report with Eric Brenner, who interviews Dale Clare from Oaksterdam University and discusses the legalization initiative for the year 2010. All of that and more coming up on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
I smoke some marijuana with some people I like, just like everybody does from the East Coast to the West. I didn't even notice the cop on the bike, didn't know I was about to be the 20 millionth marijuana arrest. Should have fought for marijuana law reform, should have gone to the web and typed in Norm. Norm to the L.org, normal drop the A.org, baby.
National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
Roll me something fat and long, pack me a bowl, or fill me a bong. It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
It's time for your cannabis community calendar, available online at normal.org/calendar. To get your events added to the calendar, send me an email with the subject calendar request to stash@normal.org. Michigan Normal is announcing the visits by Dr. Eisenbud to the THCF clinics. They'll be in Southfield, Michigan on Wednesday, December 16th. They will be in Saginaw, Michigan on Thursday, December 17th, and back in Southfield on Friday, December 18th. This is for people who are looking to become registered medical marijuana patients in the state of Michigan. For more information, check out thc-foundation.org or look up minormal.org. Now, on Wednesday, December 16th, Benzie County Normal in Michigan is having their meeting at 1136 Michigan Avenue in Benzonia, Michigan. This will be a potluck dinner and a movie. For more information, contact Reverend Steve at 231-882-4496. On Thursday, December 17th, Philly Normal will be having their open meeting at the A Space, 4722 Baltimore Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. For more information, check out phillynormal.org. On Friday, December 18th, Normal of Waco, Inc. presents San Francisco in Waco at Smoke and Rays in Waco, Texas. Tickets $5 in advance, $10 at the door. For more information, look up Waco Normal on the web. Also, KC Normal, Kansas City Normal, is presenting Funk at the Reggae Dance Summit. This is at 4050 Pennsylvania Avenue, number 150 in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information, check out kcnormal.org or dial 888-KC-NORMAL. On Saturday, December 19th, Normal Show Live is on the air, live from Oregon Normal's world-famous Cannabis Cafe with our holiday show. Listen live at live.normal.org or dial 347-994-1810 to listen on your mobile phone. And the following week, Monday, December 21st, Dr. Detroit's Winter Solstice Party at 18700 Woodard. This is presented by the Innate Healing Arts Center and Golden Gate Cafe. $15 donation for the entire evening. Call 313-366-2247 for more information. And on Monday, December 21st, Kansas City Normal will be having their meeting at 4010 Pennsylvania Avenue, Kansas City, Missouri. Call 888-KC-NORMAL for more details. And to get more information on all of these events, including websites, contact information, maps, and more, check out the Normal Cannabis Community Calendar at www.normal.org/calendar.
From Washington, D.C., the belly of the anti-marijuana beast. Season's greetings from Normal staff and the board of directors. To you and yours, this is Alan St. Pierre, executive director of Normal and the Normal Foundation. And I sincerely hope your holidays are both safe and hemp-filled.
Hi, this is Normal founder and legal counsel Keith Stropp, wishing you a happy holiday from Normal. Let's use this time with family and friends to rededicate ourselves to ending marijuana prohibition and stopping the arrest of responsible marijuana smokers. Happy holidays.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Californians will vote on marijuana legalization in 2010. From Alternet. The Tax and Regulate Cannabis 2010 campaign has just achieved a major victory in its efforts to legalize marijuana for all adults in California. They have gathered the signatures necessary for inclusion on the state's November ballot. This win means that Californians will be the first in the nation to decide whether they believe marijuana ought to be taxed and regulated for all adults over 21, much the same way alcohol is. Well, no. Nevadans and Alaskans have been asked to vote on the legalization of marijuana in 2002, 2004, and 2006. But go on. The drug reform movement's eyes will be on California next year because many advocates believe that if the initiative passes, many other states could follow. Support for marijuana legalization is at an all-time high, with polls ranging from 44 to 52% national support. In California, where marijuana has been legalized for medical use since 1996, 56% support legalization. This may be why the campaign's organizers were able to gather so many signatures, nearly 700,000, so quickly. By the last week of November, tax cannabis had handily exceeded the 433,971 required signatures it needed for ballot qualification and ended the petitioning stage of its campaign. They'll officially submit the signatures sometime in February so that they qualify for the November ballot instead of the one in June, which is expected to have a less favorable voter turnout. Once they submit the signatures, the state will have 90 days to verify the signatures. As long as the minimum amount of them are valid, the ballot is a go. One thing I can tell you, once California re-legalizes marijuana, it'll be hard for Oregon, Arizona, and Nevada not to. Can you imagine how tough it will be to get across the California border if marijuana is legal there and not in the neighboring states?
This is Chris Goldstein with Active Voice Radio. We're here at the Somerset County Courthouse in Somerville, New Jersey, covering a landmark medical marijuana case. John Wilson was caught growing 17 cannabis plants, and now he faces a minimum prison sentence of 15 years in state prison under the charge of operating a drug manufacturing facility. Two state senators are asking for that felony charge to be pardoned by the governor right now. In front of the Somerset County Courthouse today, there were over 40 demonstrators asking for that pardon, making sure that jurors going in and out of the courthouse know that John is an MS patient. One of the most egregious points of this trial is the fact that the judge in the case has ruled that he cannot tell the jury that he has multiple sclerosis. We're going to talk with some of the folks out here on the street today, get a sense of what's been happening here in New Jersey. We're here with Ken Wolski, a registered nurse and the executive director of the Coalition for Medical Marijuana in New Jersey. And for full disclosure, I'm on the board of directors there as well. Ken, tell us a little bit about your sense of how things went here today in front of the courthouse.
Well, it was a very positive demonstration. We had a good number of people. I would say close to 50 people came. There were over 25 people came to our fundraiser luncheon. It was very successful, and the press was here, and they interviewed quite a few people. So we expect some very good continued media coverage from this.
One of the members of the coalition here in front of the Somerset County Courthouse is Marianne Bays. She's someone who's been very interested in the medical marijuana effort here in New Jersey and has been personally invested in this. Marianne, welcome here to Active Voice Radio.
Thank you, Chris.
Tell us a little bit about your personal involvement and why you're out here today supporting John.
Okay. Well, there are a number of things that brought me out today, but I began getting active in this back last February. It actually came as a surprise to me that New Jersey was as far along with the medical marijuana bill as it was at that time. And I've been an advocate of medical marijuana for quite some time, just never been out here with you guys doing this. I'm at a point in my career where I can, thankfully, okay. And so I am. One of the reasons that I'm here is because of very personal knowledge of the medical efficacy of marijuana for multiple sclerosis patients. I have a good friend, in fact, I just got off the phone with her, she's in the hospital right now, who has multiple sclerosis and has used medical marijuana successfully to alleviate some of the symptoms for a number of years. And I know how important this is as a medication to her. So I'm here because what Don Wilson is facing is something that he shouldn't be facing. Our laws need to be changed, and we need to protect patients' rights to use medicine that helps them.
Here with a member of the board of directors of the Coalition for Medical Marijuana New Jersey, Ed Hahnemann. He's a regulatory attorney right now, and he's been practicing law for many years, member of the New Jersey Bar Association for many years. It was his original letter to crafted with Ken Wolski, the executive director of the coalition, to Attorney General Ann Milgram that really started to rally support for John Wilson. And a recent piece you wrote in the Times of Trenton also became a real lightning rod for support for John. As an attorney, what was it that really sparked your outrage in this case?
Well, I think the basic issue is one of fundamental fairness and being true to the constitutional imperatives of a trial by jury that's being blatantly violated in this case. The jurors specifically are being denied any knowledge or information about the full facts. And in our system of trials, you want to protect the defendant, and that's why it's very important that jurors not be bringing into the courtroom outside information about someone. For example, someone who has been convicted previously of an offense. You don't want the jury to know that when they're on trial another time, because jurors will tend to think, well, if they committed a crime once, they may have done so again. You want the jury to just look at the merits of this case. This is a case, however, where the prosecution and the court is standing that principle on its head and making it adversarial and burdensome to the defendant to not be able to bring out the truth of the situation. The juror should be entitled to know, number one, John Wilson has multiple sclerosis. Number two, he was treating himself with marijuana for that. Number three, marijuana has been recognized by institutions worldwide as an effective remedy for multiple sclerosis. And number four, that the New Jersey legislature is finally joining with 13 other states in looking to pass the Medical Marijuana Compassionate Use Act. And when you combine that with the fact the jury will know none of this, and our system is predicated on a jury being the ultimate source of power to the people, as trite as that phrase sounds, but really the ultimate safeguard of the rights of the people. If the jury does not have a chance to stay the tyrannical hand of the state, then we really have no chance. This could be a trial taking part in communist China or parts of Russia or other places in the world where individuals are put on trial, but we do not consider that trial fair. I do not consider this trial to be fair. This trial deprives the defendant of all chance to really defend himself. And it puts the jury in a position of saying, well, he had marijuana plants, there's no defense, there's no reason we can acquit, and therefore we'll find him guilty of manufacturing. And that's another issue here in the case. This person had few enough plants to be charged with a misdemeanor and basically given pretrial intervention. The prosecution, for reasons I could speculate about, but won't, the prosecution has chosen to go for 20 years in prison in this case, since he wouldn't take a plea bargain and agree to serve 3 years in prison, which for a multiple sclerosis patient could be tantamount to a sentence of death. So they put John Wilson in an untenable position, and they've really placed themselves in a position that I think is an outrage to the taxpayers, which I quoted two of the senators in New Jersey who pointed out that this is an inhumane distortion of laws intended to stop drug gangs. It was never intended to apply to patients. And so the waste of taxpayer resource in this case is enormous. And here's the other thing. They're not protecting public safety, and if they should get a conviction, the taxpayers will get to pay for years and years of a sick person in prison and pay for his medical treatment. How does that benefit anyone? I mean, haven't they heard we're broke in New Jersey?
Well, you know, let me ask you this. You've written very passionately about the piece, and also from a very informed standpoint as an attorney. In this case, John has been told he can't tell the jury he has MS. What happens if he does? I mean, does he have First Amendment protections in the courtroom?
No, not in court. You don't. You would be cited for contempt of court, and there could be a mistrial declared unless the judge wants to give curative instructions. But the defendant and his attorney are under severe sanctions. I don't think most people understand that. You know, they watch too many trials on television where you can get away with outbursts, and you know, on television, you know, something happens in the first 10 minutes of the show and 15 minutes later they're in court and then they're in appeal. In real life, it doesn't happen. This case has been going on for a long time, and I think that people should understand. I mean, they found this marijuana with a helicopter search. So they're devoted significant resources to this, lots of experts. And again, what is the benefit to the people? You would expect that justice to be administered, must be administered with some eye, not toward we just want to get a victory for the prosecution. That's not justice. That they are looking at the letter of the law and not the intent of the law, and they're not looking at the overall picture here either. I mean, literally in New Jersey, as I told the Attorney General in my 10-page letter to her, people are being shot in the streets in the cities of this state, and this is what the prosecution, organized crime gangs unit, I want to emphasize that. This is not being done by a county prosecutor. This is the state attorney general with all the imprimatur of power, the organized crime and gangs unit. We have financial institutions stealing money from people, all kinds of scams in the state, all kinds of horrible illegal acts affecting the citizens of the state. I mean, even, you know, I would rather see them go after, you know, automobile, you know, repairs who rip people off, or, you know, siding contractors, people that affect. No one out there will benefit from John Wilson spending a minute in trial, no less in prison.
Ed, I really appreciate it. We're with Ed Hahnemann here at the Somerset County Courthouse. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Big Island Councilman wants marijuana legalized. Hilo, Hawaii, from the Honolulu Advertiser. A resolution to ask the legislature to decriminalize marijuana is to be debated by the Hawaii County Council. The resolution to be discussed Tuesday was authored by North Kona Councilman Kelly Greenwell. It says, quote, marijuana should be decriminalized and not treated as an illicit substance, end quote. Greenwell says it's not so much about marijuana as about criminal activity associated with what he calls a, quote, harmless, end quote, drug. He says having marijuana illegal only drives up the price on the black market, enticing organized crime to take it over. If approved, copies of the resolution would be sent to the Honolulu, Maui, and Kauai councils in hopes they can pass similar resolutions and approach the legislature together to ask for a new law. All right, you go, Hawaii. Let's get marijuana legalized on the islands. I'm telling you, what a fun vacation trip that will be.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana. It's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Down, 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 down.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica. Brought to you by Sarah Kant Photography. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on the Daily Audio Stash, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Cash Baby is a band composed of one Canadian and one French musician who came together 2 years ago in Paris to create a new breed of electropop. Fronted by the charismatic Miss Benny with Marc Bisset and Keys, CCB have attracted the attention of cutting-edge French radio stations, Parisian club DJs, and in 2008 the organizers of the Grand Zebrock Unsigned Paris Music Festival. Their sweet beats on high could be about falling in love and shunning materialism, or about getting slightly baked, or perhaps just about falling in love with marijuana. This intoxicating song is currently available, along with other single Beautiful Fall on iTunes and Amazon.com, off their as-of-yet-entitled album due for release on iTunes in 2010. More information on the band and the rhythmic electric beats can be found on www.carscashbaby.com, including a fan club, Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, and elsewhere on the internet with their band name as the username.
Just you.
Support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, When will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORMA. My name is Keith Strop, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORMAL, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gambell.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527. Every Tuesday, we bring you a podcast within a podcast dedicated exclusively to the ground zero of marijuana reform in America, California. We turn over the daily audio stash to your Golden State host, Eric Brenner, and the California Marijuana Report.
California Marijuana Report for the week of December 14th, 2009. I'm Eric Brenner. This week, get ready for legal marijuana in 2010. We speak with Dale Clare, the Chancellor of Oaksterdam University, about a new ballot measure that would legalize pot. And some San Francisco rock and roll with Barry the Fish Milton on our California Marijuana Music segment, only on the California Marijuana Report. And we're following our breaking news story out of Oakland this week. It's the San Francisco Chronicle reporting Richard Lee, the medical marijuana patient who founded Oaksterdam University, says his organization now has enough signatures for a marijuana legalization measure to make the November 2010 ballot. Here today on the California Marijuana Report, we are honored to have Dale Clare, who's the chancellor of Oaksterdam University. Dale, welcome to the California Marijuana Report.
Thank you so much for having me, Eric. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell me about this big news. Is it true? Do we have the signatures to get this on the ballot? Might we see legal marijuana in California in 2010?
We will have tax and regulate cannabis on the ballot in November 2010. It is true. We are having a very green Christmas here in Oaksterdam.
Now, tell me, this initiative is quite complex in terms of it's not so cut and dry that marijuana would be legal outright. There are some stipulations. Can you tell us about that?
Indeed. We wanted to make sure that we maintained safe communities through the taxation and regulation of cannabis. This initiative will allow any adult over 21 to possess up to 1 ounce of cannabis. It also allows the cities and counties local control to determine if they'd like to regulate adult sales or commercial cultivation. Importantly, this even opens up the Central Valley farmers to growing hemp. So we have an opportunity to pay into the system through the taxation and regulation of cannabis to support these important public safety and public health programs that we so desperately need.
The 25 square foot garden stipulation, let's just say someone grows a 50 square foot garden, will they be subjected to criminal penalties?
Well, it depends upon the locality, and we're hoping to actually have conversations with a lot of these to make these civic fines rather than criminal ones. You know, at any point, you have to have some type of civic responsibility, and the concern is of the neighborhoods having their next-door neighbor become a grow operation. Anytime you go over 25 square feet, when you start getting into these larger grow operations, that's the opportunity for dangerous things to happen, like fires. So we want to make sure that the larger operations are properly inspected and wired for commercial grow. And we're encouraging the local cities and counties to set up those types of grow regulations, and our initiative allows for that. Now, on the other side of that coin, if you, as an adult over 21, possess what you grow in that 5x5 area, at that point you have an affirmative defense because that's for personal adult use. This also allows you to carry up to an ounce for adult use with you anywhere, regardless of the local guidelines. Now, this does not just out and out allow sales the day after it's enacted. It merely allows cities and counties to determine how to regulate sales. Now, what's important with this is that cities and counties that are struggling to enact regulation on medical marijuana, we have cities such as Los Angeles, whose city attorney is battling on whether or not sales are legal. This would offer up a clear state law to allow the regulation, sales, taxation of medical cannabis, even if they're not ready to approach the adult issue.
Chancellor Claire, let me ask you this. If a medical marijuana patient here in California is caught with more than an ounce of marijuana, what kind of criminal penalties would they be subjected to? Would the answer be, again, it depends on the locality, or what happens if the CHP catches them, that sort of thing?
I'm sorry, did you ask if that was a medical patient?
If a medical patient or even even a person over 21 in California.
I'm glad you made that distinction, actually, or asked the question the way that you did, because it gives me the opportunity to importantly state that our initiative protects patients, that it offers up protective language for every activity that's currently allowed under Prop 215 and under SB 420. So qualified medical patients still have the best protection under state law to carry what they need for medical use. Now, the AG guidelines and the current SB 420 guidelines suggest that that's 8 ounces or 6 mature plants. However, we know that locals in certain areas have extended those guidelines, just as they may for adult grow. And in addition to that, patients in many counties may not even have to pay taxes on some of this cannabis. Cities like Berkeley have already mentioned that they're looking forward to taxing adult cannabis, but they have no intention of taxing medical cannabis the way that Oakland did. So even in that sense, different counties and cities are going to take a different approach. Now, when it comes to getting caught with more than the amount, what we're trying to do here is also spearhead an educational campaign, and we've partnered with folks like Normal, DPA, MPP, ASA, to get the message out that cannabis is safer, that this is a safer alternative to things like alcohol. And if only we tax it similar to alcohol, we can actually pay into the system to help regulate it, to help control it, to help keep it away from children. So to that end, we're partnering with those that may be on different sides of the same issue to try to bring self-regulation to our industry. And at this point, this is an educational campaign on that. We're hoping to redirect law enforcement attitude so that they're not interested in the pot bust. And no longer will the simple smell of cannabis be probable cause to completely shatter your Fourth Amendment right to a search and seizure.
Chancellor, you mentioned our friends in law enforcement. What kind of response have you received from the law enforcement community?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Oakland cops are excited about receiving a new training facility, which is exactly where the tax dollars from Oakland will be directed. So it's a matter of getting over the fear factor that law enforcement has that they're going to lose their jobs and realize that they're finally actually going to be able to play hero rather than going after the folks that they already know, as they say, is just shoveling against the tide. They can finally direct their efforts against violent crime, crime against others, the types of crime that they originally went into law enforcement to begin with. And the best reaction that I've gotten out of law enforcement, I mean, there are some that are just for it. There are many individuals within LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, that are advocating a tax and regulate system. When you look at the cops that have more than one bar or one stripe, they get that cannabis is safer. And many of them don't get why it's not just legal yet. But even when we talk to other folks within the law enforcement community, many of them have agreed to say nothing at all. And I think that that's fantastic. They'll let the voters decide. And that's good news for us.
Dale, we here at the California Marijuana Report want legal marijuana in 2010. What do you need most from our listening audience?
Well, at this point, I'd like to point out that we can have free pot. Liberate cannabis. If 1 million people give $10, then we win. And if your listeners can just visit taxcannabis.org, that's taxcannabis.org, you can find out how to become involved through endorsements or helping the volunteer effort or just dropping a $20 bill in the mail.
Dale Clare is the Chancellor of Oaksterdam University. Thank you so much for joining us on the California Marijuana Report this week.
I truly appreciate your time, Eric, and all of your listeners. Thank you so much for being involved.
Talking about a greener rock and roll promenade and dream. Who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love?
And now some California marijuana music. This week we're in San Francisco's North Beach District with the Barry the Fish Melton Band. From the CD The Saloon Years, here's Colorado Town. Barry Melton and Bob Fleury on guitar, the legend Spencer Dryden on drums, and Peter Albin on bass. Colorado Town, only on the California Marijuana Report.
Street corner in a Colorado town. 2 o'clock in the morning, my car broke down. 2 lids in my pocket, suitcase in my hand. Started walking down the street, I met a policeman. Oh no, this can't be true. A dope or two. The cops cruised alongside like it was some kind of joke. I reached my pocket looking for my dope. They took a spotlight and they shined it in my eyes. I started to pray for them to pass me by. The squad car stopped. They opened up the doors. I heard a voice say, "Is it a girl or a boy?" I was starting to sweat and things was getting kind of hot. We're talking about communism, AIDS, and pot. Oh no, this can't be true. Over two. You know those cops said? They said, "Hey, what are you doing? Where are you going? If you got some identification, shut your mouth, put your hands on the car. We're taking you down to the police station." Decided to shake me down. The squad car radio started jumping up and down. Sparked out something, a secret code. I jumped back in the squad car and headed down the road. Didn't waste no time, I flagged me a ride. Didn't ask where I was going, I just jumped inside. Sat down on the front seat, started rolling up the dope. Sit back to relax and enjoy my smoke. When the guy that's driving turned to me and said, it's the FBI, you're under arrest. Oh no, this can't be true. Man, I don't know what I'm gonna do now. I mean, I got 4 pounds of Jamaican in my back trunk and 2 lids of Panama Red in my jacket pocket. And 186 pounds of Humboldt County. Sense of man. With an ounce of dope or two.
Please join our group on Facebook. I'm Eric Brenner for the California Marijuana Report.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent.
We leave you today with the reminder to get involved in the year 2010 with fighting for your rights and ending adult marijuana prohibition. We've currently got legalization legislation pending in California, Massachusetts, Vermont, and Washington State. And the Tax Cannabis 2010 initiative in California has gathered more than enough signatures to qualify for the ballot. There's medical marijuana legislation coming up in Minnesota, Illinois, Missouri, Ohio, Tennessee, Maryland, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Ohio, Wisconsin, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Texas. New Jersey has a special session going on right now deciding medical marijuana, and there's a voter initiative in Arizona. There's also going to be some regulation and taxation initiatives coming up in the state of Oregon. And for you to get involved in these things, you need to do 2 things. Number 1, register to vote. And number 2, join Normal. Send me an email at stash@normal.org and I'll give you all the details. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.